151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and to walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called, ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We take the insert with the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany as we chant the introit.
I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your just and righteous decrees.
Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in awe of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. You have commanded your precepts to give as diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your just and righteous decrees. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we pray. Son of the Father, Lord God,
O Lord, graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we who justly suffer the consequence of our sin may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Jeremiah chapter 17. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant Psalm 1 responsively by whole verse.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
Those who have fallen asleep.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Alleluia and verse. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place. With a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem in the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and spurn your name as evil, on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
You may be seated for hymn 3932.
Thank you.
the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus says to you and me today, blessed are you. Our blessing is found in Christ and in His Word. Have you ever gone through a life experience that was tragic and difficult, and you said, I feel cursed, not blessed? We all go through times of distress and affliction. Many Christian people today, when you greet them, will say, how are you? And they'll say, I'm blessed, which is an appropriate way to speak as a Christian. Saying, I'm blessed, means I'm the recipient of God's blessing. And then I can be a blessing to others. Jesus blesses you today with His Word. The context here is, as Jesus had been up in the mountains teaching His disciples, He then comes down to a level place on the side of the mountain, and there was a great crowd of disciples, a great multitude of people, hundreds, thousands. The geography of Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, Tyre and Sidon along the seacoast. This is that whole region, a vast region where thousands of people are coming. And why are they coming? To hear His Word and to be healed. This is one of the places in the New Testament where it says, power was coming out of Him. God's power was coming out of Him like electricity, like magnetism or something. But it was the power of God. It's healing everyone who touched Him. Some people had unclean spirits, which are demons, removed. Other people touched them, and they were healed from leprosy or whatever disease they had. The mighty power of God is being shown in Jesus. They who come to touch now also come to listen. He lifted up His eyes on His disciples and said. Jesus describes for us what the Christian life is like. And if you look through the entire Bible, it always is law and gospel and then living that out. And Jesus does the same here. We will consider first. We will consider first the words of the law. Then we will consider the blessedness of the gospel. And then our reward and joy in heaven. Jesus lifted up His eyes and spoke the woes of the law, because the old Adam must hear the law. And so He says, woe to you who are rich, that is, you don't need God. You've received your consolation. Woe to you who are full of yourselves. You don't need God? Well, you'll be spiritually hungry and thirsty. Woe to you who laugh now and you mock, not needing God? You're going to end up mourning and weeping when you're cast into hell. Woe to you when people speak well of you because they don't want to hear God's truth in His Word. They praise the false prophets. If they praise you, woe to you. False doctrine and false teaching is a serious offense of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He says, woe to those who preach these, it's meaning you must repent and stop saying these things. The world has always been filled with false doctrine and false teachers. Paul mentions one of those today in the epistle lesson. The false doctrine was this: dead people don't come back to life. Therefore, Christ was not raised. And in Corinth, that false teaching and the woe that was proclaimed upon us had to be said. You see, one of the ways that we handle false teaching is study it, see what that worldview is, and then consider all the ramifications of that worldview or that religious statement. So that's what Paul does. he says, with this false doctrine and teaching. If you're going to say that the dead are not raised, then he says, let's run with it. That means Christ is not raised. If Christ is not raised, this preaching, my preaching, it's vain. It's a waste of time. Your faith is vain. It's worthless. We are misrepresenting God, Paul said, if we say that. If there is no resurrection, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. All the sins you've ever committed, they're all on you. They've never been taken away. Not only that, all those loved ones who fell asleep, they've perished. You're never going to see them again. No way. They're gone forever. And if Christ is not risen, and we've hoped in him in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. The non-Christians would be right to laugh at us and say, look at these Christians going around in this dream world, thinking that they're going to be raised one day. Paul calls woe upon this kind of teaching, for this worldview is contrary to the Word of God. It leads to spiritual and eternal death. And people go along saying, no such thing as a resurrection. Christ is not raised. None of us will be raised. We die like an animal. They dig a hole. They put us in the dirt. And that's it. Woe to those who teach false doctrine, Jesus says, and Paul says. Woe to those who will not proclaim the law at all. You would be amazed on how few people today can actually name the Ten Commandments. Jay Leno, one time in the Tonight Show, went down the streets of California and asked people to name one commandment. One person said, separation of church and state. Another one said, God helps him who helps themselves. Every once in a while, a person got one or two, thou shalt not kill. But nobody could say all Ten Commandments. This is why we teach the Ten Commandments to your kids in Sunday school, in confirmation class, and in the catechism. The woes of the law can only be proclaimed if people know the law. You shall have no other gods before me. You will not take my name in vain, and you remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You honor your father and mother and those who are in authority. You do not kill. You're loving towards others. You don't commit adultery. You're faithful in marriage. You do not steal. You do not bear false witness and gossip. And do not covet. And when people know the law, then they understand how they've broken the law. The woes of the law must be proclaimed in every generation, not just the past, but today as well. If people are going to be filled with themselves like a cup filled to the brim, then God can't fill anything into it. So if a person is rich in themselves, they will be poor in God. We are indeed fortunate that we have heard the law, and we've been warned about the woes of the law. But then there's the blessedness of the gospel. Law, and then gospel. Jesus says, blessed are you who are poor, that is, in heart. Yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry for the word of God. You shall be satisfied by Jesus' word. Blessed are you when you weep over your sins now, like you confess them at the beginning of the divine service. You shall laugh and rejoice in the forgiveness of your sins. Blessed are you when people hate you, exclude you, revile you, as they did the Old Testament prophets, on account of the Son of Man. Here is this strange blessing. Blessed? Because I'm hated? When you speak up for Jesus, the Son of Man, true God in human flesh, and proclaim like we're about to speak in the Nicene Creed that he's very God and very God, that through him alone, in his death and his resurrection and ascension, he is our intercessor at the throne of grace, and we are declared righteous and holy through the blood of Jesus Christ alone. And he is the only way to God the Father. You teach that and share that to people, and let's see what happens. You may be hated and mocked and reviled and called all kinds of names for being true to the word of God. Jesus says, when that happens, rejoice. Leap for joy, because you have a great reward in heaven. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. More and more, we see that Christians are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. In Finland, the government is coming down upon pastors for just preaching what I'm preaching and threatening to put them into prison. If you stand in a street corner and say, abortion is killing a baby, and Jesus forgives, they might try to lock you up. If you stand and proclaim to people that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that we did not evolve from monkeys, but are made in the image of God, who knows what people might say about you. But we are happy to proclaim the truth. We are happy to be reviled for Christ's sake. And we are happy to proclaim that indeed the resurrection is true. And everything Jesus said is true. Because remember what Paul says. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. We believe the resurrection not because it makes us feel good about life. We believe the resurrection not because it's a pious idea. We believe the resurrection because it's true. It's a fact. Christ was crucified. He was raised on the third day, like he said. He would show the marks in his hands and side and feet for the disciples to see. It was the real Jesus who physically came back to life. We believe the resurrection because it happened in time and in history and fact. And we make no apologies for this. We proclaim to the world, Christ is risen from the dead. Now you deal with it. You either repent or you mock it. But it changes not the fact that Christ is risen from the dead. And he is the joy and the hope of all the world. Jesus and all Christians proclaim the woes of the law and the blessedness of the gospel. Because of this, we know, as Jesus said, the joys of our reward in heaven. He says, rejoice and leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. If you see somebody leaping for joy like a calf that's come out of the stall, you know they're really, really happy. And Christians are really, really happy because we can rejoice in the midst of difficulties. We have the reward of heaven. All the miracles Jesus did are a foretaste of paradise. One of the reasons Jesus did the miracles, removed the diseases from the people, drove out the unclean spirits, healed everyone and made them new so the blind could see and the deaf could hear and the lame could walk. He's giving us a foretaste of heaven. And all things will be made new. Imagine the person who's never walked here on earth. They're going to be the ones leaping for joy in heaven. Imagine the person who could never see here on earth. And in heaven, they behold the saints and all the angels. What kind of joy that will be. Indeed, Jeremiah today pictured for us our life in heaven and our life here on earth as well. We are like trees planted by water. Our roots are in the streams. And in the book of Revelation, we're drinking from the river of life. In the living water of Christ. The leaves remain green. They bear fruit. And in Revelation, we are eating from the tree of life, the gift of eternal food. And in Holy Communion, you eat the bread of God, the medicine of immortality. Our reward is great in heaven, but we already have a glimpse of it here on earth. In conclusion, my friends, the power of Jesus still comes from his body today to teach and to heal us. When the word of God is preached, the power of God is coming to your ears and then to your mind and to your heart to give your faith, to give you faith. When the word of absolution is proclaimed through my lips, Jesus is telling you, your sins are forgiven. When Jesus' words are spoken over water and word, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit is being poured upon that child and that person. In the meal of the Lord's Supper, when we receive Christ's body and blood under the bread and wine, he's giving us his very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. This is power. This is real. All the power comes from the Word of God connected to these ordinary elements of water, bread, and wine. And through those, the power of God comes personally to us. The crucified, risen, and ascended Lord is among us today. This is why Christians are daily rejoicing despite affliction, because we have our joy in Christ. So today, you indeed are blessed. When you go home, you have the earthly blessings of a job, a home, food, clothing, a spouse, children, your family, and you praise God for those earthly blessings. But most importantly, you praise him for your heavenly blessings, the family of God, your brothers and sisters in Christ, the food of the Word of God that feeds you forever, the living water of Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. So you can say, just like fellow Christians, because Jesus said, "Blessed are you," you can leave here today and say, "I am blessed." God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Amen. We turn to page 158 and stand to confess the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayer of the Church. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, your kingdom has been made manifest in the preaching and miracles of Jesus Christ. Gather us together in the great multitude from all Gentile nations and from Judea's remnant, that we may know the wisdom that came in the flesh, that we may hold fast to your word that's been preached to us, and never believe in vain. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Preserve all our families and godly Christian homes. Give parents diligence and persistence in their duties to teach the word and example to their children. Keep them in the promise that you've given them in their baptism, and grant them patience, kindness, endurance, and Christian love that has no end among us. Bless Emily Cook, Jackie Mullen, Darlene Franklin, and Don Nist as they celebrate their birthday and baptism, and Ed and Vivian Hasbrook, Paul and Donna Bashore, their anniversaries. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, do not let our rewards and the blessings of be in the treasure and goods of this world, but in the treasure of our heavenly inheritance, knowing that with you we lack nothing, and will receive an eternal reward in Christ. May we at Trinity Lutheran Church this coming year bear witness to that treasure. And we ask that you be with Deaconess Kim Boltman as she serves as a missionary in Germany in the Farsi language, bringing the gospel to Persian immigrants. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Be near to those who are troubled by any unclean spirit, memory, or thought, and to the sick and all who are in need of healing. Be with Winona Kucerik, with all those who've had COVID or the flu. Be with Patsy Roller and Terry Anderson, Judy Smith and Jessica Braren, Raymond Sendelbach, Patty Rever and Jeannie Vorster, Wayne Brusowski, Joe Waller and Chris Henderson, Neil Tapto, Jill Tarver, and Candy Darman. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless the United States of America with those who rule in justice and peace in our land and country. Bless Courtney Tate and Alex Laffin, Emily Shelton and Danny Green, Charles Gaither and Ricardo Batanga, and Mike Gobble as they serve in the armed forces of our nation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord Jesus Christ, you are risen from the dead and live all eternity. May we, with the certainty of Christ's resurrection, live in confident expectation of his coming again, confident in your great mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is worshipped together with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
At this time, we ask that you fill out the ritual friendship forms found at the end of the pew, passing them to the person next to you. You may place them in the baskets in the narthex as you leave. You may be seated for the gathering of the offering.
We sing the offertory, page 159. We stand to sing.
I will take the cattle.
right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed
on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen us, strengthening the true faith, body and soul to life and bless. Canticle, page 164, we stand to sing. Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit,
one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.